So we're going to be in James, and you can just turn there. We're going to kind of work through 1 through 3 as we see a theme that is very obvious in chapter 3, but most people don't realize James talks about this one theme the entire book, and there's not a thing he talks about in the book of James that at some point he doesn't bring this up. So this is a really important word, and you're going to see it's a really important part of our own mental health, our relationships. Literally, there's no place in life where what James wants to hammer home today isn't going to help make your life a ton better. So we've been looking at this whole idea of this summer is about being refreshed. We're doing the splash party. Let's just refresh families, give them a fun time. And James is very much about this. He wants a group of people who are going through, can I get the next slide, please? It's not popping up for me. Who are going through trials. So they're worn out. It's been a tough, tough time for them, right? And so he wants them to have a joy about what God can do in their life, even in the midst of hard things. And he says, look, God is leading you to a place where you're going through so much and it's so hard, but you're actually going to end up complete. And you're actually going to end up not lacking anything. Look, if you'll just focus on what God is doing and have faith in him, you're going to finish renewed and refreshed. Even though right now you're weary and run down and you're discouraged, you're feeling a little defeated. James is like, no, no, no. There's a joy. There's a joy you need to hold on to that comes from him. So James is definitely emphasizing a lot circumstances. These trials, remember we talked about trials that become trails to God's goodness. Nothing can outdo God's goodness in your life if you'll just persevere and keep after walking with him and trusting him. But you start recognizing, and it starts in chapter 1, James is thinking that it's not our circumstances that are the only thing that's wearing us out and making life rough. He actually keeps talking about this one thing over and over again. And what he's saying is, look, it's not just your circumstances that are wearing you out. It's actually your words. See, there's this theme that James talks about, and we're going to get to chapter 3. And man, he hammers it home in chapter 3. But he say, look, your words are creating just as much hardship and weariness in your life as your circumstances. You're making your bed and then you got to lie in it with your words. Not too happy. And James, who wants to refresh us, who wants us to go from being run down to renewed, says, hey, everybody, it's time to think about what's coming out of this thing right here a lot more. Because this thing's causing you more problems, wearing you out more than you realize. So as you're reading through James, if you start going back, James always, whatever topic he talks about, at some point he says, and you say. He's like, somehow your words are always part of what's going on. And I want you to think about it. I mean, in your life right now, what are some words that have meant the most to you? Words have power. How'd you do this week? Did you say something that meant something? Did someone say something to you that really lifted you up this week? Words have power. Did someone say something that really brought you down? Words have power. Look, words are really important, and James knows this. And so he wants to lead us in a time of saying, first of all, let me remind you what you need to be careful of. And then let me tell you how to find renewal in the matter of your words. So that's what we're going to do. James says a lot about what we say. So I boiled it down to James' top 5 warnings about words. I'm going to give you James' top 5 warnings. We're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to work all the way to when in chapter 3, he gives us the number 1 warning about our words. Right? So here we go. And then we're going to look at, okay, how do we take all those warnings and now how do we live? Here we go. Number 5 from James. More words, more anger. Why do we keep thinking, wow, this is really not going well. Let me talk more at this point. How did we come up with that formula to make life better? Right? He says it there. He says it in James 1:19. Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and notice two slows here. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. For people's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires, which is very contrary to our culture right now. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they posted that. I know the solution. I'm going to say things back. I'm going to post more. And a matter of fact, if they don't listen, I'm going to use even more words. Yeah, that one works great, doesn't it? I don't know about you. It's like, wow, that was a mess. And then I decided to try to use my words to fix it, and that's worse. Now, that did not get better. More words, more anger. Right? Which is interesting because we feel like, oh, I'm so angry, I've got to say something. And what happens after you do that? Then after that, how do you feel? You're more angry. All right? Especially in this area right here. Right? Oh, I'm going to straighten them out. I have a revelation from God that the moment they hear what I have to say, they're going to be like, oh, wow, you're right. Thank you. Yeah, doesn't happen. First scripture I ever memorized in the Bible. God led me. I learned how to do devotions. I was age 10, started studying the book of Proverbs. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I had a friend one time, I told him this verse. He said, oh yeah, God told me about this too. He said, yeah. He said, he told me, and we're talking about James, like to be slow to speak. He said, yeah, God always told me to wait. I was like, oh, yeah. I said, that's it. He's like, no, wait. Why am I talking? Like, I should wait. Why am I talking right now? Man's anger does not lead to righteous resolution. And when I say words, more words in anger, when I'm angry and then I add words to it, it's not leading to resolution. I love this. I love this scripture in Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. That should be on a billboard someplace, right? Look, you and I, sometimes because we see injustice and we see things that's not right, that's not fair, God's not saying don't say something, but he's saying really be, man, keep listening. And isn't it interesting, that verse, we always think it's be quick to listen, like listen to the other person. I don't think that's wrong, but how about this way too? Hey, wait a minute. Be quick to listen. You're upset. You're about to like be slow to speak. Wait a minute. Let me listen to the Lord for a few minutes. And then I'll say something. All right, I want everybody to repeat after me. My best words are less words. Hallelujah. Let's all go home. We're done. Right? All right. That's warning. That's the fifth one. Let's go to number four on the list. Man, words can destroy your witness. We've all been there. Right? Look what he says at the end of James 1. If anyone considers himself religious, and that word religious means sincerely devoted to God. It's not talking about religious as like, oh, they're so religious, but they don't know God. It's like, if anyone considers himself devoted, herself devoted to God, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his or her tongue, that person deceives themselves. Their religion is worthless. Now, what James is saying in that moment is he's not saying that you're a hypocrite if you sincerely are following God, but then you say things wrong. It's not saying that proves everything else you did is worthless. It's just that it becomes a worthless witness. Right? Because you served and served, and then you said that thing, and they're like, well, those words, like, undid me. That wasn't kind. That wasn't thoughtful. That, you know, just, it wasn't consistent. So I've seen them do all these things. It was sincere. But now they said that, and all of a sudden, everything you've done has become worthless to them. Now look, God still sees what you did. God knows your heart. None of us, I mean, James is going to say, anybody who doesn't say anything wrong, like, is the perfect person. Who's that person? Right? He's not saying be perfect. He's just saying, just remember what James, of course, knows. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And last time I checked, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he sees you being sincerely devoted to God, he can't undo that you did those things, but he sure can trick you into saying wrong things that steal the results of what you did. So we just gotta recognize that, and we've got to kind of pay attention to that warning that God, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, he or she who restrains their lips, that person's wise. I'm going to let God do the talking. I'm going to let my actions do the talking. I'm not going to let too much of this do the talking. That doesn't tend to go well. Number three on the list. God judges your words. Notice what he says in chapter 2. James, try that again. There you go. What's that word right there? Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Where is this happening? In what I say. Mercy, in how I talk, always triumphs over judgment. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 through 37, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, outside of the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, this does not make me feel good. Because, again, James is going to say, who's the perfect person who hasn't stumbled? Well, all of us. Like, boy, I sure hope he's not going to judge me by those words. But I guess I said them and it's too late. No, it's not too late. Because here's what James is meaning in this. The words you don't resolve between you and God and how he wants you to resolve them in his life, those are the words you get judged by. The words you don't say to the Lord about, Lord, would you forgive me? Forgive others. It's not that you said the wrong words. It's that you didn't follow them up with the right words. That's what gets judged. Boy, you left those words hanging out there and you decided they were okay and you never did anything with that. Okay, if you think that's the final answer, I'll make that your final answer. I thought about this way. It's like, you know, I need to make sure my best words are always my last words on every topic, on every relationship. God help for that relationship. I didn't have a lot of great words in that relationship, but let my last words be my best words with that relationship. Right? Before the Lord. Lord, I mean the Apostle Paul, like, man, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man, like I'm the worst of sinners. But God, I can't change those words. But now here's some new words from me. Let my last words be my best words. Because that's forgiven. No careless. I didn't care about, well, I said that I don't care about that. No. I did care about that. God, I spoke those words. I spoke those words to you. We're talking about the power of words, right? And I did a wedding 2 weeks ago. I'm doing another wedding next week. And we always get to the exchange of the rings, right? And with circle without end, is love without end. And then I say, although the three words I love you are the most romantic, it's the three words I forgive you that are the most powerful. You show the most love without end when you speak those three words. And sometimes those are the best words you're ever going to say. I forgive you, or would you forgive me? Doesn't mean you're responsible. You can't change the past. But your best words could be your last words. And you want to live that out. Number two on the list. I mean, James is kind of leading us through. We start getting to chapter 3. You're going to be studying it this week. Small words can cause big damage. And we know this. We know this is true. You know, I look at this and I think this. I want you to think about this right here. You are one sentence away from having the best relationship with the person you've ever had. You're also one sentence away from having the worst relationship you've ever had. You're one sentence. You're one saying one sentence away from having the best relationship possible with people you care about. You're one sentence away from it. You're also one sentence away from really, you know, just burning and crashing. Just one sentence. You and I are one sentence away from having the best relationship with God we've ever had. That's it. One sentence. So the question is, why don't we say those sentences all the time? Like what James says here is like, look, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts, says a lot of wrong things. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. And by the way, it itself is set on fire by hell. Man, James has given us a warning. Like this thing, small but big problems. And at the same time, well, isn't the opposite true? Man, it could spark the exact right thing. Some small words seem like, well, it doesn't matter if I say that. It's like, no, I think it does. Well, at least, you know, they know. It's like, wait, no, it seems small. But those words could spark something really big. And again, I just want to leave. So why don't we say them enough? Well, it actually leads us to the number one warning about James and words. And I'm telling you, it doesn't leave us with a lot of hope outside of Jesus. Look to this last. Your tongue is an evil you cannot fix. Can't fix it. Sorry. I mean, James is building us up about all these things to do with our words. He's like, and by the way, you can't what? You can't tame the tongue. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed with the exception of our new dog in our house, okay? Still can't tame that thing. And have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. What does the scripture say about Satan? He roams to and fro. He's restless. Like he finds a lot, he identifies with this tongue a lot. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is James' warning to us. By the way, why does James, like why is this so important to him? Oh yeah, he was the guy in John 7 who told his brother Jesus, yeah, why don't you go down to Jerusalem? Anybody who really, who wants people to believe in him, he doesn't hide, you should go down there. And when Jesus goes down there, what happens to Jesus? James got a few words he remembers saying to the Son of God, his brother, that he regrets pretty big time. And don't forget, he was very religious, devout. See, James in his own personal story is like, man, I remember what I said. I remember Mark 6 when I and mom and everybody went and we were like, you're crazy. You need to come with us. I remember saying those words. That's James. But James is also the guy in Acts 15 when nobody can figure out what's going on, says, hey, everybody, I've got something to say. And he produces peace and healing. And life. Look, he remembers what his half-brother, Jesus, his elder brother, said. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day, we read this before, of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. What's Jesus saying? Is it just like, well, you know, words, really, God? That's like the big deal. It's like, no, no. The words are representing what's in the heart. Welcome to the ultimate thing you can't fix. Nobody can save a soul but Jesus. No one can transform me and give me a new life. This mouth, I can't fix this because I can't fix this. And I need him. So I want you to see this. I mean, here's the warning. There's not a ton of hope in these warnings. There's not a ton of things that I could say, oh yeah, I'll fix that. I mean, all of us have tried, right? Now I think hopefully we've grown up a little bit. We've gotten a little better. Maybe some of the low-hanging fruit, you know, we've kind of taken care of that. That's good. But let's be honest. I can't fix this because I can't fix this. And so what I've got to choose to do is I got to look at the things I wish I would have done differently and the words I wish I would have said differently. And I got to remember that I can make my last words my best words. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Praise the Lord. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I'm only one sentence away from peace with God. For the scripture says, everyone who believes with the heart and with the mouth will not be put to shame. Man, isn't that good news? I mean, doesn't it just like, thank you, Lord? And so I want to encourage you, not only here online today, and think about the next few services and some of the families that are coming. I'm going to be preaching this message. It's as simple as my next words being my best words. Hey, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for the sin and the selfishness in my heart and in my words and how it has hurt you, and I know how many others I've hurt. Today I confess you as my Lord with my mouth. Lord, help me to know what to say with this. Be in charge of what I say. Today I believe that you died and rose again, so can my heart. I ask that my old heart die with you at the cross and that you give me a new one by your Spirit. And if you'll give me a new heart, I'm pretty sure I'll start having some new words. Man, you can make that decision today. We're going to pray in a moment. But I want to encourage you, it's not just the first time you give your heart to the Lord, but it's really an every time moment. Because if I was going to sum up what James says is how to start living the right way with your mouth, it's all about just, all right, it's about pause, ponder, and pray. All right, everybody say it with me. Pause, ponder, and pray. I mean, I got to start. Like, I'm in the middle of something right now. Okay, let's wait. Why am I talking right now? Am I the person who needs to be heard right now? Hey, I need to ponder. I just need to stop for a second. Be slow to speak. Let's slow down. Let's speak and act like people who are going to be judged by the perfect law of freedom of Jesus. Wait a minute, God. Why do I, you know, I've pastored now 25 years, going on 26, and here's my rule. When I really want to say something, Don't say it, Sean. And when I really don't want to say something, yeah, now it's time. That's how I lead this church. That's how I try. Not always perfect with it. Have my fair share of slip-ups. But that's what I do. It's like, oh, I really want it. No. Don't say anything. You really wanting to? Not a good sign. And then I'm like, yeah, you know, if I say that, that's going to be hard. And I know they're trying. Like, I don't really. And God's like, yeah, now that you understand how sensitive this is, and that's why you don't want to say it, now I want you to say something. Because now you appreciate the words you're about to say. Pause. Wait, why am I talking right now? Ponder. Okay, what's in my heart? And then I want to give you, the scripture's going to give you prayer, but here's the prayer I think you can pray really simple. And God, help my words come from your heart, not mine. God, my heart's hurting right now. Okay, probably a good sign these words should come from your heart, not my heart right now. God, I'm angry. That's not right. I think about what that's going to do to other people. God, help my words come from your heart, not mine. I think the psalmist said it probably just a little bit better. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O my strength and my redeemer. Hey, everybody. You've got the power to make every relationship, every workplace, every community you live in better. But it's not because of the words you're going to find. You're going to have to pray this prayer. God, man, help my words come from your heart, not mine. That could change the world. It could change yours. So we're just going to finish with a moment, I think, just a prayer. But we're going to, Cornerstone used to say this verse all the time, right? At the end of every service. I'm going to ask you to stand with me before the Lord. I want you to think about, I want you to make sure that your best words are your last words today. No matter what you've said in the past, you can make your next words your best words. I'm going to ask you right now to pause and ponder. God, what's in my heart? As we're all doing that right now, everybody online, you're doing that. I just, both online and in person, it doesn't matter how much you pause and ponder unless you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that the Father from heaven raised him from the dead. If you'll do that, you'll have his heart that you can keep going back to. When I think about my words, it makes me know I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. So don't let it end in condemnation, but let it put some conviction in your life today. God, if I was going to stand before you, you're going to judge all my words, I'd be hopeless. But I'm going to make my next words, my best words. That's going to change everything. So I'm just going to ask, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if one, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, these next words are going to be your best words regardless of what you've ever said. you can be a new person with a new heart. In every relationship, you're going to have a chance to say the right words next. You don't have to finish the way you finished so far. So I'm just going to ask right now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, online, you can indicate in your chat. If you're here in this sanctuary, would you just raise a hand right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart. I want to confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you right now in his presence, Lord, we're asking, help us to pause, ponder, and then pray. All this week, pause, ponder, and pray. Pause, ponder, and pray. Now, whether you can recite it by memory or you need to look up and join me, we're going to say this a few times together in the presence of the Lord. Join me in saying it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's say it again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's say it again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Holy Spirit, come. We want our words to come from your heart and not ours. Man, ours is under construction. But your heart's perfect. Perfect in justice. Perfect in mercy. Perfect in love. Perfect in wisdom. Lord, let my words come from your heart. And when I trip and fall, let my next words be my best words. And start all over again. Because you've given us the power to speak life. So I just pray right now for the one relationship we're thinking about. Lord, help my next words come from your heart. And as we'll learn in James 4 next week, I just got to humble myself. We just receive this word now, and I declare that everyone who, Lord, is hearing this message, whose heart is open, Lord, this week's about to be a different week. And thank you for the words that are going to come forth. They're going to create life. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.